You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We have assembled the round table served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. If you don't know, Rosewood is totally casual. It's a neighborhood joint from the same local team that brings you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. Although Rosewood is an everyday kind of place, the incredible quality of food and service will simply blow you away. Soups, burgers, steak, seafood, all homemade. Awesome. Sushi shots that are awesome. Great French dip with some au jus. There is something on the menu for everyone. And today's roundtable features Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and, of course, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Thank you for being with us. Same story for the Browns now for the fifth week in a row, and in many ways, more importantly, the third straight week, as they can't close the deal, blow a fourth quarter lead, and lose another game for the Browns. Mary Kay, what is, if you're trying to put your finger on the one issue that has come up to cause the Browns to lose in this excruciating fashion 3 weeks in a row, what would it be?
You know, you've got to attribute it to defensive breakdowns. No matter what you want to say about this team, you can't deny that the defense has given up long drives, short drives, and touchdowns aplenty over the last 3 weeks. 6 touchdowns on 9 fourth quarter possessions over the last 3 games. That's unacceptable. You can cite all the statistics that you want defensively about where you rank, but that's not okay.
Blanket coverage right there by Mary Kay,
that
right?
Was pretty
I mean,
good.
That nails it on the head. I mean, this team has not been able to stop teams when it's needed to do so, and that's the bottom line.
Wasn't that what the investment was for? I mean, we went into this thinking it would be a really good, impactful playmaking defense.
Yeah.
But at the end of it all, they make some plays, but they certainly don't make enough, and they don't make them when they've got to make them.
Well, we were told the investment would be in an aggressive attacking style defense, and I think we've seen bits and pieces of that,
yeah.
But not, you know, over a full 60 minutes. We've seen moments where, yeah, they put pressure on the quarterback, but there's been far too many times where quarterbacks have had plenty of time to throw and make big plays down the stretch, like Mary Kay mentioned.
49 points allowed in the fourth quarter, and one of the things we talked about on the other side is the lack of guys around Josh Gordon and just how apparent it becomes when he is not able or a team makes it their primary focus to limit him, nobody else steps up. Is that one of the most important things this offseason in your minds for the Cleveland Browns to address?
I definitely think so. I would have to say one of the biggest disappointments I find in this whole entire season has been Devon Bess. He was basically the only upgrade that they made to the offensive skill player position. He was what they did. They gave him a big contract. I know he's trying his best, but every time I look up, Devon Bess is dropping a pass, and a crucial pass at that. You know, he's a major reason why they lost the Kansas City game, and yesterday he dropped 2. I think both of them may have been in crucial third down situations. So he's been a huge disappointment, and I would have to say that Greg Little has been a big disappointment as well. You know, they definitely have got to go out and they have got to find, I would say, at least 2 really good weapons for the next quarterback.
I agree with her across the board on that. You know, we've talked about the lack of playmakers all season long. Now, that said, when you have a guy like Josh Gordon, who is on an historic run like he's had over the last 4 weeks, how is it that he has 1 target in the first half yesterday? I mean, if this guy is uncoverable and is as dominant as he's been, why isn't he getting the ball immediately in the game? We've likened this before. We've talked about this, you guys, before.
Yes.
It's like having the big man in the post in basketball. You feed the beast and give him the ball. And my feeling is, if you got to get the ball to Josh Gordon yesterday, whether it's on an end around or a quick hitch or something, you've got to take advantage of him being on the field from the get-go. And that didn't happen at all yesterday.
And I think yesterday provided a very stark contrast between a team that could trot out Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte in the backfield. Oh, by the way, Martellus Bennett can win in any favorable matchup that he's in. And Earl Bennett is very much a pro. Bennett.
Yeah.
Martellus and Earl caught all 10 of their targets yesterday for 94 yards and a touchdown. The Browns have nobody that can do that. And by the way, they also have Jeffrey and Marshall, who both stepped up. And you talked about feeding the beast. It was clear when Jay Cutler came out there, he was getting the ball to his guy, Brandon Marshall, and getting him going. And that was a big part of their offense.
Even to his peril, I mean,
where
he had the interceptions. And that is missing. I mean, this team doesn't have, you know, you make a great point about Devon Bess, but I think it also speaks to what we said earlier. The investment was made on the defensive side of the ball. I think Devon Bess, for the way he was acquired, kind of a wash of a draft pick. There was really nothing given up to get him. Yes, contractually, but not really the investment. And Were they counting on Greg Little to be better than he was? I would hope so. Clearly that failed miserably. So now you're a football team that has at least two pieces that you need to add in that area.
Yep.
On the presumption that Jordan Cameron is going to become Mr. Consistent, which he hasn't been all year.
Well, that is true. But the thing that comes to mind when I watched the Patriots highlights yesterday, Tom Brady is, you know, only at times as good as the guys who are going to make plays mm-hmm. for him. And you saw a lot of guys struggling in the red zone, you know, to make plays for him. So any quarterback that's here right now is only going to be as good as the guys that are around him. I know people think that Jason Campbell had a horrible game yesterday, and it wasn't his best by far. But you have to have guys that are going to go up, and they're going to run the right routes, and they're going to make those plays. Anybody that thought that Greg Little was suddenly going to be amazing this year, you know, probably overestimated what Greg's abilities were going to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and Jordan, you know, Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon are both young players. They're going to have some inconsistencies. So I think they need to bring in a good veteran receiver.
They definitely need a number two. And, you know, as you look at the stats, the interesting thing is Jay Cutler threw 8 incomplete passes, 6 to Marshall, 2 to Forte out of the backfield. Jeffrey Bennett and Bennett, every single pass thrown their way resulted in a completion. That is not good. And I think it speaks to the depth a little bit on the defensive side of the ball for the Browns that, yes, Joe Hayden can play. We know he's great. But when you get some of these guys matched up with other playmakers, the defense falls a little short if the pressure is not there. And yesterday, the pressure was not there.
Yeah, you know, and as soon as Joe left the game yesterday, you knew what was going to happen. I mean, it was pretty obvious. I mean, the Bears didn't need a roadmap to figure out where to take the ball and when to do it. You know, the thing that's kind of scary to me is the deeper we go into the season, the more holes it seems like this Browns team has.
That's what I was saying earlier.
And, you know, we've said since day one, you guys, we've talked about the quarterback situation and the lack of playmakers on both sides and maybe a lack of depth up front offensively. I think the defensive line still has some depth there. But that's what bothers me more than anything else is that, you know, we're 2 weeks from the end of the season now and you just kind of look at, okay, there's plenty of holes in that dike and how are we going to plug them all up?
It's the Roundtable. We've got Tom Withers from the Associated Press, who regularly joins us here, along with Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. It is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. You bring that up, and it does make me wonder, because we are closing in on that point, if we're not already there, probably already there, of analyzing, you know, what this offseason is going to look like, what form it's going to take. And I just wonder if in any way, Joe Banner and Michael Lombardi now might realize that it's a bigger job in front of them than they even thought. I mean, I don't know that they never saw that they ever saw it as a small job or smaller, but has the job gotten bigger to get them where they want to be? Because they've defined, Joe Banner has clearly defined 14 as the year that's got to tell you you should be there on the way to there, and no question about it. And if you don't see that in year two, what they would consider year two of their program, you're not going to see it.
Well, you know what? You can turn things around in 1 year if you do things right. We've seen that this year in places like Kansas City. But you have to get a couple of key things right. The other thing is, one of which is the quarterback.
Yes.
Settle down the quarterback situation. And, you know, I mean, I would keep Brian Hoyer. I would keep Jason Campbell. And I would go out and I would get the next quarterback of the future. That's what I would do at quarterback. The other thing to consider is they do have some guys coming back, and I think that will help. Quentin Groves, I think, was really looking good when he went out with his injury. Mm-hmm. So I think getting him back will help. Desmond Bryant, let's see how he does, you know, now that he has had this procedure. Maybe he could put the heart thing behind him. He looked good before that. So there's a couple guys coming back.
Deion Lewis
is coming back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of the holes will be filled by guys coming back off injured reserve. But you got to get a receiver. You got to get a running back, although Edwin Baker looked good yesterday, mm-hmm. I thought. And you probably need, you know, maybe one good defensive back. And you got to get the quarterback.
Vic, I think you bring up a pretty – sorry to interrupt you. No. I think you bring up a pretty fascinating point, though, Vic. And I think that there's been this – oh my gosh moment for almost every regime that's come in here, which is that, okay, we've got a big problem. We need to fix it. We start making the steps toward it, and then you get to where, wow, there's a lot that has to be fixed here. And I think maybe that's what they're faced with right now. And I think Mary Kay brings up a big point and a good point, which is that some of the moves they did make, we weren't able to see them completely, you know, taken to fruition because of injuries and other things. So, you know, I'll be honest with you guys. At 4-5, I kind of fell into the same trap, I think, as a lot of people did, which was that, okay, this team looks like it's ready for the big stage, and as it turned out, it wasn't.
Yes.
I also would say, though, if we're three decent fourth quarters away from being a 7-17,
no question.
Which is, and then if that's the case, you're saying, okay, they're not that far away.
That's not a stretch at all either, Nathan.
Right, right. So, and it's another thing that occurred to me, too, was that they made a move that I think everybody is in agreement was a great move with Trent Richardson, but I think if Trent Richardson were on this team, they do a little bit better offensively in some fourth quarters than they're doing with Willis McGahee. He's definitely better than Willis McGahee, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. There are things that could have happened, and that's going to be an asset that's coming back. That was just one that was kind of taken away. Granted, you couldn't trade him for a first-round pick today, so it was a great move, but I think it could have impacted the Jacksonville game, for example. They may have been able to run the ball a little bit more effectively down there. Travis Benjamin is another guy that's gone.
There you go.
That is an impact player for this team on special teams who will be back. It is, and it's interesting. I kind of made the same point earlier that, you know, maybe it's a little bit worse than we think. At the same time, I think it is. It's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think with this Browns team.
In the light of that list of players who are missing, and you brought up a
great one in
Quentin Groves. Yeah, attrition is part of this deal, but you brought him up too. In the light of that, the fact that they have had these three kinds of games allows you maybe to swallow that a little bit. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go down the road of saying, hey, look how close they've been in these games. Hey, look how close they've been in these losses, but they still end in losses, and that can permeate. There's a mentality. I know it's something Gerard Cherry, we'll probably bring it up with him later in the show. He's all over that. He can't stand the thought of acceptable losses none of them can be.
But I don't buy that it is a thing that carries over whatsoever. The last two teams that have picked first in the NFL went to the playoffs the next year. So they were the losingest franchises in the National Football League. You can turn it around. Takes, as you said, you got to get the quarterback position squared away.
And
you
got to get that in Kansas City, and you got a hell of a coach. You got a 14-year – I mean, getting Andy Reid as a –
This staff, though, has that, I think. You don't have it as the head coach.
I love Rob Jedzinski. Let's not call Rob Jedzinski Andy Reid.
I'm not, but I'm saying this has Norv Turner's on the staff.
I mean, the tone is set by the head coach. Kansas City got an extraordinary deal. They got Andy Reid as their coach to turn around. That's if you're going to list the reasons why 214 is now where they are, where they got 10 wins, Andy Reid's number one. And the quarterback who showed out yesterday that he isn't just a manager, he goes up against a bad opponent, he can blow. And it was a bad Raider team.
He threw those touchdowns, a grand total of 13 yards in the air.
I understand.
I mean, if he's throwing those to me or you, those aren't touchdowns. Charles is pretty darn good.
But he knows how to use his personnel.
For sure.
He's a hell of a – I mean, I think for his circumstances, he's done a hell of a job. I'm taking nothing away from Alex Smith. I refuse to, because he's part of that 10-win process.
I disagree with you too, Nathan. I do think there is carryover. I do think there is a momentum with losing, which has been pervasive
here. The end of the Mangini year.
That was four games. You can't go there.
Isn't that supposed to be momentum?
But my point is, though, I think these young players who have grown to, I don't want to say accept losing, but are just kind of stuck in this nonstop negative, mentality.
It's
pervasive here.
They need to win a week one. They need to come out and open the season with a win.
And
that is
huge.
And Mary Kay, how many years has that not happened? I'm just saying you get caught in that.
You know what? Here's something to consider. This game is so close in terms of how one play can turn things around.
For sure.
If Joe Hayden does not bite on the slant and go and give up that touchdown pass to Cecil Shorts, we feel like way different about this team.
Completely.
If Leon McFadden doesn't get called for a bogus pass interference call in New England, they beat the New England Patriots.
In
you
New
feel
England.
Differently
recover
about
recover the
team.
Onside kick.
If recover the onside kick, if Tayshaun Gibson just gets that hand up 2 inches higher. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
They've been the wrong side, though. That's the thing. You've got to get on the right side of those plays.
I won't argue any of that stuff with you or the historic stuff with you, because you've been on the beat of this team much longer. But I will say this. It sounds so familiar. I've presented those same points to others, non-media types and some media types, but other non-media types who hit me on, and I'm sure you get them too, social media, email, whatever. And when they come back to me with, is Vic We've said this before. Just change the names. Just the very thing you're describing. Fill in, put new names there, Tom. I think that's what you're saying in the way of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quote,
you go in that locker room today and you talk to a guy like Paul Kruger, who's coming off a Super Bowl win, and he's got to be shaking his head as to, hey, we're doing everything right. These guys are working hard. You know, we've had some bumps in the road. We've had some injuries, but we just can't seem to shake out of it for whatever reason.
You know, I think if you can go into New England and play Tom Brady better than almost anybody has played him this entire year, and or at least as well as most people have played him this entire year, almost win that football game, and again, have that whole list of really super key players that are coming back for you next year, including Charles Johnson, which potentially could be a very good receiver.
Sure.
I think that there is a different feeling than some of the other years when they ended.
Oh, I'll give you that. Absolutely.
I'm happy you're saying that. I want to believe that's what I want.
I believe there are more singular talents on this team than there have been in a long time, and I think that this team is more competitive than it has been despite what its ultimate record.
I'll be honest with you. I felt that way coming out of last year. I came out of last year saying this team has got more talent than I've seen here in 10 years, and that was before they added guys like Kruger and Mingo and the development of Josh Gordon and others. So,
I was going to say they disagreed with you down the hall, but they would have added. But no, you're right, though. They did add you. I did feel that sense, but I felt even more of it. As Nathan just said,
the pressure is on this offseason.
It
is on. This needs to be not a single, not a double. This needs to be a home run offseason, and it has certainly the chance to transform this franchise and get it out of the doldrums, which you alluded to on Twitter, that they have the most 10 lost seasons in an 11-year span, or second most behind only the Buccaneers, who have gone 11 for 11 once.
Yeah,
10 for 11. Yeah.
This was good stuff, guys. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Tom Withers, Associated Press, Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer. The Roundtable, served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Please check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. It's the casual neighborhood joint from the same people that brought you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico's Steakhouse. Check it out. Soups, burgers, steaks, seafood. I love the salmon. The salmon plank there is out of this world. Great stuff, and we've got more great stuff ahead in hour number two. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850, WKNR.